We are going to turn to Christ's Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, and then to the psalm which we sang a few moments ago, 104. Let's read a well-known portion of Matthew chapter 6 a moment. We begin to read at verse 26, just the tail end of that chapter. 25, rather. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And then turn with me a moment to Psalm 104. We begin to read at verse 13. 10 rather. He sends the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, and the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have an habitation, which sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. Where the birds make their nest, as for the stork, trees are her house. The high hills are the refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appoints the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather together, and they lay them down in their dens. Man goes forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. With those few verses in mind, we turn for the instruction which we find in our Confession of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50 to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. You find that at the bottom of page 42. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide for all our bodily need, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that without thy blessing, neither our care and labor nor thy gifts can profit us. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Several passages in addition to that. As we read in Psalm 104, they wait upon thee, and so forth. Psalm 145, 15 and 16, the eyes of all wait upon the Lord. Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand. Thou satisfiest the desire of every living creature. In Acts 14, 17, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. In Acts 17, 27 and 8, that they should seek after God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us, for in God we live and move and have our being, even as certain of your own prophets have said. In Psalm 37, several verses there, 3 to 7, 17 and 18. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospers in his way, because of man who brings wicked devices to pass. A little that the righteous man holds is better far than riches of many wicked men. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Psalm 127, the first two verses. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 7. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is that man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. And finally, Psalm 146, 2 and 3. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. We've said from the very beginning that the order of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer are very meaningful, and they teach us. Now in the fourth petition, we have come to the matter that you and I might oftentimes put first. And that is our physical necessities. Give us this day our daily bread. But our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that we must first deal with God. So that we were taught that his name and his kingdom and his will are first and foremost and uppermost in your and my thought and desire, and we bring that to the Lord in prayer. Now when we come to the fourth petition, we deal with ourselves and our necessities. Now why is that order important? Because it teaches us this, that in no sense of the word is this fourth petition to be interpreted from a carnal point of view. You have to take the petition out of the order in which you find it in the Lord's Prayer to impose upon it any carnal consideration. In other words, the fourth petition is subservient. It stands beneath, if you will, the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. So that Jesus teaches us that as we honor the name of God, as we seek his kingdom, as we do his will, and we know the connection of those three things, we have certain necessities so that we may do that here below. Because we are all, after all, pilgrims and strangers here. We are of the earth, earthy. We have needs that pertain to our bodies. And therefore, those necessities, and we underscore the word necessities, we'll talk about that in a little bit from the viewpoint of that term bread. Those necessities we must have in order to honor His name, in order to seek His will with regard to His kingdom. So therefore, that word bread means the necessities of this life as they enable us to be sustained from a physical point of view to seek those spiritual things that He places first and foremost in our prayers. Now there are some that have arrived at this from a different perspective. And they say, therefore, that that idea of bread in no way is talking about our physical needs. I'll address that in just a bit. Therefore, they interpret the bread as the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, because they say there is no room in the prayer of the child of God to address the earthly necessities. Those things are carnal per se, and they have no place in our prayer life. And therefore, if you talk about bread, you have to talk about that from the viewpoint that Christ is the bread of life. That's not correct. We'll get to that in a moment. Furthermore, the question oftentimes comes up, why my physical needs before my spiritual needs, as covered in the next petition? We realize full well that as you and I seek the kingdom of God in all our earthly pilgrim's journey, the things that belong to the body, to the flesh, to the needs of the family, to the needs of the church, that those things must be first and foremost, and if we pray for them, not from a carnal point of view, but subservient to the first petitions of the Lord's Prayer, then you and I will not pray amiss. And then we can also address the spiritual things that you and I have need of as we walk a pilgrim's journey here below. With those few introductory remarks, let us address this petition. And very simply, our prayer for our daily needs or daily bread. There are three things. First of all, exactly what does that petition mean? In the second place, let us understand that this petition has some fundamental implications. When you and I pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are implying certain things about ourselves and God. And finally, let's see the result of that in the way you and I live, and that will bring us in large part back to where we were this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. There are some who want to spiritualize this petition. That seems rather attractive, even to us. And we could even draw from the scripture as they do to try to make this petition wholly spiritual. From the point of view that it does not in any sense of the word refer to physical bread or physical necessities. For example, as we read just a few moments ago in Matthew chapter 6, Christ says, why are you concerned about the things you eat and the things you drink or the clothes you put on? After all, God takes care of us, does He not? O ye of little faith, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And because we are not Gentiles, therefore, we will not pollute our prayer in talking about physical bread or physical necessities. And we will simply wipe that petition from our prayer life, and we will focus only upon spiritual things. And then they turn to John chapter 6 especially, and they say, see our Lord Jesus Christ, when He talks about bread, He says, I am the true manna which came down from heaven, not the coriander seed that lay upon the ground as Israel left Egypt and found herself in the wilderness, but Christ is the true bread of life. And so they use these texts to point us to the fact that we must not pray for anything physical. And that if we pray for physical things, we are actually polluting our prayer and making them very carnal, and that has no place in the spiritual life of the child of God. They are wrong. They are wrong. In the scripture everywhere, we read just some of the passages, the scripture everywhere points out to us that we may be concerned about carnal, material things as they affect your and my pilgrim's journey here below. Israel, for example, could count on the Lord's blessing from a material point of view when they walked in the ways of the Lord. The Apostle Paul speaks of the necessities that belong to his body. He compliments the church at Philippi for taking care of him. There is nothing in the Word of God that tells us to despise the things of this world. Absolutely nothing. And therefore, we ought not to over-spiritualize this petition, nor ought we to say that the things of this world are per se sinful in and of themselves, and therefore they find no place in the prayer life or in the life of the child of God. That's not the point. The point is this. Let's leave the petition for material things subservient to the former petitions. Let's leave it in the place where Lord Jesus Christ put it. Or to put that very bluntly, and you've heard me say that many times from the pulpit, let's understand in this life what is the means and what is the end. What are the necessities in order to arrive at that which we long for? Or to put it in the same terminology which we use this morning, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We realize that we have various needs as we walk this pilgrim's journey. But you see, we do not make those needs the end in and of itself. But as we have our eyes toward the end of glory and toward that city which has foundations, and as we focus upon the glory of God's name as realized in His kingdom, as He disperses all things according to His will, you and I keep that heavenly city in mind and that treasure which is spiritual, all the while understanding that we have the needs of this present existence. You see, that keeps us from every way of carnality. Then you and I won't pray as if the things of this world are an end in and of themselves. We won't set our affections upon the things of this world except we realize they are a means to attain, from an earthly point of view, the things that belong to our spiritual life. Or, if I may put it this way, you have in the fourth petition a spiritual petition for material needs. That sounds like a contradiction, but it's very true. A spiritual petition, a very spiritual petition that addresses the needs of this present life. Which necessities that we have? And if you study very carefully the words that Jesus uses here, you will find that those words underscore exactly that point. Notice the brevity of this petition that is nevertheless fraught with meaning. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's begin with the obvious. How often have we not told our children in trying to explain to them what is proper in prayer with regard to the things of this life and what is improper and carnal, and we tell them this. Jesus teaches us to pray for bread, not cake. We have daily needs. The Lord very richly provides those needs in a very wonderful way, in a very marvelous way. Think about it for a moment. He ties us to the earth early for our existence. He gives us the kind of air to breathe that we need. We exhale and it feeds the plants. We go to the soil, we get just the right amount of minerals to keep all things in balance. We realize today that the more we mess around with those things, it affects our very health. So you see, God in a very marvelous way supplies for man's needs. That's Psalm 104. Feeds the beasts of the field. Makes sure the birds of the air have their necessities met. The lions go forth at night. They go to their dens and they sleep. Man wakes and he goes about his business. And the Lord provides herbs for the good of man, oil, wine to gladden his heart. The Lord provides in every way for man's necessities. It fits perfectly. Christ says bread. Bread is a staple element. You and I know we need more than just bread, especially the kind that has all the nutrients taken out of it that we see so much of today. We know we need more than bread. We understand that. But you see, bread is the symbolic word here that speaks of all the necessities that you and I have in the midst of this life. And they are varied. So Christ will have us focus our attention upon all those necessities. Our food and our drink, our shelter and our clothing, and our medicine and our care, and whatever else you may have in the midst of this world, that is a necessary thing so that we may move along our life's pilgrim's journey 70 years and 10, so that we may feed our families and raise them up, so that we may walk this pilgrim's veil and finally be taken to glory. All of that is encompassed, you see, in that word bread. Now notice how our Lord Jesus Christ talks to us about that. First of all, give. I'll come back to that. But in the second place, give us this day our daily bread. Well, you could argue that that's repetitive. After all, the bread that I receive this day is my daily bread, is it not? But our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't waste any words, you understand. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't like the Pharisee who stands on the street corner who wants to be heard for his much speaking. You have the Lord's Prayer and all of Christ's teaching, very succinct, very meaningful, and you can hang weight on every word. That's the Scripture. That's why we can exegete the Scripture. That's why every word has meaning. It is God-breathed. And when our Lord Jesus Christ teaches his disciples who sit at his feet and say, Lord, teach us to pray, he speaks this short petition and is full of meaning. It's very teachable with regard to our necessities. This day. Not for tomorrow. What a lesson. What a lesson. We like the security of having things, you see. What does the Lord's Day say? So that you and I not put our trust in men, not in ourselves, not in the stock that we have in our freezers. And how many passages did we not read just a few moments ago that underscore that? Put no stock in princes or in men. Live from the hand of God every day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We live a day at a time. Oh, I know we like to plan for tomorrow and for years ahead. But we live a day at a time. And the Lord will have us focus on our needs for a day at a time. And we may not live into the future and fill our hearts full of anxiety and worry and encumbrances that weigh us down on our pilgrim's journey. Give us this day. That's today. And tomorrow we pray the same prayer. And the day after that we pray the same prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. That first of all. This day. Bread for the day. And don't worry about tomorrow. Oh, how we're prone to do that. In the second place, the bread which we receive today is our daily bread from the viewpoint that it is our daily allotment. The particular needs that I have for this particular day, that changes. And that changes especially from the viewpoint of the first three petitions. You look back on your life, you project it into the future, and you will see those necessities change. The necessities which I had when my children were all young and in the home were quite different from the necessities which I have today when there's two of us to feed. The necessities which you have when you're young are quite different from the necessities which you have when you're old, because perhaps you need a raft of medicine. The necessities which you have when you're healthy are quite different from the necessities which you have when you're ill. The necessities which you have when the Lord puts other family members in responsible position to you, that's quite different. You see, those things differ throughout life. And they are the daily needs that we have from the viewpoint of the will of God. Don't forget that. And the will of God may be that I am fully satiated. The will of God may be, when Antichrist comes, that I don't have enough to eat. Lord, give me this day the allotment that you have in store for me with regard to this day. So give us this day our daily bread. Give it to us. We and our children may think that it's just a matter of showing a credit card at the grocery store, pulling it off the shelf and taking it home. No, the Lord gives it to us. Our Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, in whose hand we abide and live, He gives it. That's why we read Psalm 104 tonight. And that's one of the large implications of this petition. It is not your and my labor or industry or ability that is going to put bread on our table. It is not even our own ability to be able to eat the bread, to digest it to our profit. It is all of God. Can you make one seed sprout? Can we make one drop of rain fall? Can we make one herb grow? Can we make it to our benefit? I've said this before. I visited people in the hospital who needed nourishment in a dire sense of the word. And there was a huge portion put before them and they couldn't eat it. These things are all of God. It is God who causes the rain to fall. It is God who waters the furrows. It's the springs of the Lord that flow in the valley. It's the Lord that causes the hinds to calve. It's the Lord that gives you and I the strength in the morning to get up and go to work. It's the Lord who provides the jobs. It's the Lord who does all these things. So when you and I pray, give us this day our daily bread, we don't get up off our knees and say, and now I am going to provide, and I am going to do this, and I am going to do that, but leave it where it is, as Christ teaches us. Lord, take care of me. Give us, our Heavenly Father, this day, the necessities which we have. And that puts us in one of two directions very easily, when we ought to be right in the middle. You see, sometimes this kind of a prayer can result in indolence and laziness. The Lord will provide. Don't bother sitting in your rocking chair in your laziness and asking the Lord to provide for your needs. The implication of this prayer is that He gives you the strength and the health and the job and the calling and the ability and to use those things wisely, so that the Lord in that way may provide for us our needs. Man goes forth in the morning, he goes to work. He can provide for his family. Solomon says that's great joy, even though the world doesn't want to know about that. Or it can take us in the other direction of greed. And then we will find that the love of money begins to be the root of all evil. And then again, we violate the very thing that the Lord teaches us in the order of the petitions, so that we begin to set our affection upon the things of this world, which the Lord enables us to labor for and to have. The mind, the abilities that we have to gather to ourselves the things of this world. And instead of looking to God and using it for the sake of His kingdom and realizing that it is only a means to an end, they become the one thing in our life that we set our affection upon, and we miss it altogether. Give us this day our daily bread. That which I need to walk this pilgrim's journey. What did Agur say? Give me neither poverty nor riches. I may curse God, forget all about Him, if I have a lot. Or I may be angry with God when He withholds. What does Paul teach us? He takes those words and he says to the Philippians, I am content. I am perfectly happy in what the Lord determines for me to have, according to my time, my talents, my abilities, and all the circumstances in life. I am content in the way the Lord leads me, in the daily bread that He gives to me. And I am content in the way that the Lord gives me that daily bread. Sometimes that's from the hand of the diaconate. And I'm content in the way the Lord provides for me. Give us this day our daily bread. You already begin to understand the result, right? It means, first of all, that you and I can discern the difference between what is a means and what is the end. What belongs to the way and the journey, and what is the end of that journey. That's quite a challenge in prayer, you know, especially when your children begin to question you as to what is proper to pray for from the viewpoint of the things of this world. And they like to bring toys and tricycles and bicycles and pretty soon cars and houses and furniture and everything else into the picture. And we're not beyond that. And those things aren't wrong in and of themselves, but we have to make up our mind. Are they the end of what we seek, or are they the way, and do they belong to the disposable things of this world on the way to glory? And God may want to bring me to glory in the way of great riches. He may want to do that in the way of great poverty. That's not up to me to decide. The Lord will decide that. Give me this day my daily bread. And I have never yet, says David, seen a godly man forsaken. The Lord will provide, even in seemingly impossible situations. And that's why, in the second place, the result of that is this, that you and I will trust implicitly in the Lord. That's a matter of the first commandment. You recall, God's honor is at stake. In the measure that you and I trust in self, in riches, in bank account, in provisions, or whatever you have in this world, you take the honor away from God, who will have his creatures live out of his hand and acknowledge him as the giver of every good and perfect gift. We live in a difficult situation today. We live in a society that is full of materialism and avarice and greed. They eat each other up. And you and I are called upon to live as Christians. We don't have to despise the things of this world, but we have to make sure that we and our children know what's important and what is value and what is the treasure that you hang on to at all costs. And what is our heavenly homeland? And what is the end of the journey? And what belongs to all the disposable things of this world that we have to leave behind anyway? Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy word. Impress it upon our hearts, and may it enrich our prayer life, that we may learn to put all our petitions that so often well up in our heart and soul because there is so much of the flesh in us, and make them subservient to the first three of the Lord's Prayer. Help us do that, for Jesus' sake, amen.